Well, we are still in our Sola series. One of the things that Martin Luther kind of came up with as he was going through the faith and trying to figure out what the Bible actually taught, he came up with five things. Sola, I know Marty told you this last week, but I'm going to remind you, sola is the Latin word for only or alone. And he came up with five things that alone we rely on and lean into. Last week, Marty talked about only the Bible, sola scriptura. He talked about how it's through the power and beauty and living life of the Holy Spirit within the Word that faith is created, and it forms and shapes our life so that when life is confusing, when we don't understand what to do, it is the Bible that we turn to, and that shapes our lives. Today we're talking about a second sola, the sola Christus. Or if you want to say it in Latin, it would be solus Christus, meaning only Christ. There is only Christ. It's interesting that when I look back from a 500-year view back to Martin Luther, and he's standing there in Wittenberg nailing these things to the door, I see him as yelling solus Christus as a battle cry to reformation and revolution, and it was his rallying cry to get people to come together. But I'm pretty sure that's me projecting back on Martin Luther. Because you see, I've come to understand that actually when Martin Luther says solus Christus, it's not a battle cry, it's not a rallying cry, it is actually the cry of a desperate, desperate man. It is the cry of a man who has come to the end of himself with absolutely no hope. Here's what I mean by that. You're going to hear more about this next week, but Martin does go on to become a monk. And in becoming a monk, he wants to please God. He wants to find the thing that will finally make him acceptable to God in God's eyes. And so he tries his absolute hardest. He does everything he can possibly think of to do. He does things to try to get better. He punishes himself for things that are wrong. He does all kinds of things. And he tries to get to a place where God will finally love him. But through the Bible, he finally comes to the end of himself. And he realizes there is nothing he can do that will make God love him. And it's in that moment of realizing that your life's work of trying to be a good person has gotten you nowhere that Martin Luther stumbled across solus Christus. And so when he says only Christ, he says it with a broken heart, but an absolute faith that finally there is hope. So this morning we're going to talk about only Christ, and I'm going to do it in two ways, and right at the beginning it's not going to make any sense to you, but I hope that by the end it does make sense to you what I'm going to say. We're going to look at it this way, only Christ, and then we're going to look at Christ only. All right? Turn with me to the New Testament Gospel of John. Let me get you a page number. Hold on a second here. John chapter 6 is where we're going to be. I'm on page 800, starting at the bottom of page 865. Page 865, if you picked up a blue Bible, John 6. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men and women. 5,000 men, not counting the women. He's fed all these people. He's gone across the lake to the other side, and he does the miracle of walking on the water in that moment, okay? And he gets to the other side of the lake. So I'm going to begin with verse 25, page 865. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Okay, let me just stop there for a second. Here's what Jesus is saying. Look, I understand that you found me, but you're not coming to me because you believe I'm the Messiah. You're coming to me because you're hungry. And you hope that I can do it again. All right? So then he goes on and he gives them this instruction. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal approval. So these folks ask a very reasonable question, right? He said, work for food that will not spoil. Work for food that is eternal. So here's in verse 28 the crux of what they are asking. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? I'm going to stop right there for a minute. You see, they're asking the same question every civilization, every culture, every religion has been asking since the beginning of time. What do we have to do to get God to love us? And so it doesn't matter what culture you go to, it doesn't matter what religion you are. People build altars, they sacrifice animals, they do good things, they try to follow the rules, they come up with the rules, then they try to follow the rules. They do all these things in an effort to do the things that God requires. It's not unique to people from the Bible time. It's not unique to people in other cultures and other places. It is a human question that we ask. We ask, what do we have to do so that God would love us? Now, I don't know how you grew up. I don't know how you grew up. I don't know if you grew up in a church. I don't know if you didn't grow up in a church. I don't know if you grew up in a church that had lots of rules and the pastor seemed angry all the time. I don't know if you grew up in a church that was really a great church and a comfortable church. I don't know any of those things. But here's the thing. All of us wrestle with this question. We all are wired to think there is something we must do to get God to love us. And so these Jewish folks, after seeing Jesus perform a miracle, come to him and say, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus' answer is life-changing, world-changing, faith-changing. Here's what he says, verse 29. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. You see what Jesus is saying there? He's saying that the only thing that brings us into the love of God is faith in Jesus Christ. Not our effort. Not our scrambling. It is simply and truly only Christ. It is only Christ that gets us to heaven. It was great news to Martin Luther. It has been unbelievable news to me. I hope it is unbelievably great news to you that only Christ gets us to heaven. And because that is the case, it is already done. It's been a running joke in our house for, I don't know, as long as our kids could talk, probably, that on Sundays we go home after church, virtually every Sunday, we make scrambled eggs and toast. And we sit around and we have lunch together. And our kids have said to me for virtually all of my preaching life, Dad, you only have one sermon. It's always the same. It's always about Jesus and his death and resurrection. Here's why. Only Christ can save us. And it's in his death for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And it's in his rising to life that we have hope, that we can finally say, only Christ. We've been in sort of an interesting, rough, but good patch here at Cross of Christ. And if this is tender for you, I apologize, but we've had a bunch of people pass away. We're going to do our fourth memorial service next weekend in the course of 2 weeks. People say to me, it must be hard to go visit these folks. It must be hard to speak at their funerals. It must be hard to go and talk to the family after someone dies. And it is. Believe me, it is. It is hard to know what to say when you walk into someone's life who's heartbroken at the loss of someone they love. It is painful to see the pain and hurt and loss in their eyes when you come to visit them. But I want to tell you that speaking at these four memorial services is one of the greatest joys of my life. Because all four of these people knew that it was only Christ. When they got to the end of their lives, they weren't worried that their resume was good enough. They weren't worried that they had done enough good things. They weren't worried that they had avoided enough bad things. They weren't worried about it because Marty and I got a chance to go all the time and say, you realize you are covered, you are good, you're going home, Jesus died for you. It is only Christ. And I have to tell you, that takes a lot of pressure off. It took a lot of pressure off Martin Luther, and it takes a lot of pressure off me. That my place is prepared. My home is already built. My life is already secure in Jesus Christ. It's only Christ. But the second side of what I want to talk about today is that it's Christ only. It's Christ only. It was interesting. I was telling the folks at 8:30 that my parents grew up in a small southwestern Minnesota town, and they were part of the Norwegian Lutheran Synod, which was very pietistic, which means they tried to follow the rules really well. And my mom would tell me about growing up and not being able to cut out paper dolls on Sundays, because they couldn't use scissors. My family grew up playing a Norwegian card game. You may have heard of it, maybe you didn't. People over there had heard of it, called Rook. The reason we play Rook is because when my parents were growing up, they couldn't use cards that had faces on them on Sunday morning, and Rook cards don't have any faces. Jeanette and I lived in southern Michigan, in Lansing, for a few years. And we were always amazed when we went over to the west side, to Holland, Grand Rapids, over to that part of it. It was years ago now. I don't know what it's like. We probably got people here who could tell us. But it was funny. We'd go over there for a weekend, and everything there was closed on a Sunday. It was controlled. That area, not controlled, that's the wrong word. There were a lot of Christian Reformed people in that town. And so they closed everything down on Sundays. And we were just amazed by it. I don't know how you grew up. I don't know what you think of those rules. I don't know any of those things. I can tell you that the pastors at the churches my parents went to would have said, no, we're not replacing Christ. We're just saying you can't do these things. This is why it's so important that it's only Christ that saves us. But it's Christ only that saves us. Turn with me to another section of Scripture. If you're using the app, please don't take it out on our tech people. I changed my text at the end of the week. Oops, sorry. And I'm now on page 942. Page 942. I'm in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let me give you some backstory as you're getting there. Page 942. Paul is writing to the new church in the city of Galatia, and he has been there and he has shared the gospel with them, and they have come to wholeheartedly grasp only Christ. Only Christ saves them, okay? But now he's writing a letter because something has happened that has changed the dynamic in this church. And so I'm going to begin with verse 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Galatians, page 942. Paul writes very pointedly, by the way. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, Paul and the apostles, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let they be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let them be under God's curse. All right. Let me tell you what's happening. The church in Galatia has wholeheartedly agreed with only Christ saves us. But people have come in and begun to tell them, well, that's true, that's all true, but there are some other things you have to take into account. The particular case here is that the men needed to be circumcised. They had to become Jewish before they became Christian. And so these Gentiles are thrown into confusion. Wait a minute, we thought it was only Christ, but now you're saying it's Christ and circumcision. And so Paul writes back with great power and says, if anyone adds to the gospel of Jesus Christ, only Christ, it is no gospel at all. So for my mother growing up, I know her pastors weren't trying to say she was going to be saved by no scissors. I know that. But to a little girl growing up in a home that said, yes, you're saved by Jesus, but avoid those scissors, she began to get confused. She began to wonder, is it Jesus, then my behavior, that saves me? And so it's ultimately important. It's only Christ, but it's Christ only that saves us. Here's why this is important. And look, I started with simple scissors and rook cards, okay? But here's the tendency for us as Christians. Well, okay, I won't speak for you. I'm not speaking for you. Here's my tendency. I look around at a world that seems to have gone absolutely nuts. And I see people living in a way that I don't agree with. I mean, at all. And I get tempted to believe, yes, it's only Christ, but if they could avoid this, that would be great. And it might be great, it might be good for them, whatever, I don't know. But here's what we're tempted to do, is to say to people, yes, it's Jesus who saves you, but if you are caught in this kind of thing, then I don't know. You know, the one that is most prevalent and problematic for us in the Christian church is same-sex attraction. And I wrestle with how to deal with it. I wrestle with what's my response. What am I supposed to say to people that I know, people that I care about, people that are struggling? What do I do? Well, how do I say this? I don't know what to do. But I do know this, that I am trying to avoid the temptation to say, it's only Christ, but it's Christ and this. Because here's the thing, folks. I'm just telling you. And there are going to be a lot of heterosexual people in hell. Because it's only Christ. And if you don't believe in Jesus, and you give up your sin, but you don't believe in Jesus, you're still not there because it's only Christ. So we as a church, we as Christians, as we work through this world, as we rub shoulders with people, as we come in contact with people whose lives we don't agree with, and we're pretty sure the Bible doesn't agree with them either, how do we react to that? We can never fall prey to saying it's Christ plus. We can't. Because you heard Paul, it's in the Word, it's in the Sola Scriptura. Anything that is Christ plus is not the gospel. It's not the good news of Jesus. And here's why. Look, it's easy for me to look out at other people's lives and say, yeah, I wish they'd really, really clean that stuff up. But it is unbelievably good news to you and to me as well. that it is Christ only. Because that means when I get to the end of my life, I will not have to wonder if my behavior has changed the way God feels about me. Because it's only Christ, and Christ only, by which we are saved. 500 years ago, Martin Luther started this whole thing off. He wasn't the first, he wasn't the last, but he's the one who got the most notoriety. And he started it off as a man who was desperate. Desperate for a way to hope. Desperate for a way to heaven. And by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he stumbled on solus Christus. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I give you such great thanks and praise that it is only Christ that saves me. I am so grateful for his death and resurrection. I am so grateful for the work of your Holy Spirit in my life and in the lives of these people, that we have come to believe in the one that you have sent. I pray now that you, by the power of your Spirit and the power of your word and the fellowship of other Christians, would keep me from the temptation to add anything to Christ only. Father, we give you great thanks and praise for Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.